You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome in episode 329 of the Sources Say podcast, your go-to Kentucky basketball and recruiting podcast on the growing KSR podcast network. I'm your host, Jack Pilgrim of Kentucky Sports Radio. Very excited. This is a fun time, Sean. This is something that I don't think we ever envisioned we would have to. It was going to come at some point, but I don't think any of us envisioned it would happen now. And now we're here. It's a crazy time. BBN is just on a different planet right now. Today, to explain the last 24 hours, it's hard to even put it into words. Just the impact and power that is Big Blue Nation. But Sean, I appreciate you coming on with us. And it's going to be a different show because now we're talking about who is going to be the replacement for Arkansas head coach John Calipari.
It's crazy. The last 2 days, the people, I'm sure your messages have been the same way, but the people that have texted me, the people that have messaged me on Facebook, DM me on Twitter, walking down the hallways at work, they're all wanting to know who it's going to be. Who will Kentucky get? And how long will we have to wait? Exactly what it says right there underneath, Jack. But for a long time now, going back, I mean, I'd say even a year, I've always thought that Scott Drew would be the pick. That's just where, to me, it's been. I have a text in my phone that I sent on September 8th where I said, 8 months from now, we're going to be talking about Scott Drew's Kentucky Wildcats. I literally have that. And it's just, that seems to be the way that we're trending. I know there's some people that are still hesitant on that, and I've talked about that too, and we'll get into that. About some early tournament exits. But Jack, if this is where the dust settles and it is Scott Drew as Kentucky's next head coach, I'm really excited about it. And I think if that's where it goes, that's a winner, and he's going to win big in Lexington.
So let's talk about how we got here. First, did you watch Cal's presser tonight? Did you see him introduced as the new Arkansas head coach and just how absolutely weird and miserable. So, I think it's probably a safe way to put it. I don't think that he looked very pleased. I love that they try to get him to call the hogs, get him ready, and he said, "I'm good. I'll just walk off the stage." There were so many moments. It was really fun to kind of see it all unfold.
I don't know how much we'll talk about Cal. I don't know how much we'll talk about Arkansas because I think people want to know more about what Kentucky's doing and things. That's but right. I will say this. This is the weirdest thing that I've ever watched and witnessed in my entire life because it's like Arkansas is adopting Kentucky. I mean, the video that they put out when they made it official was basically just Kentucky's basketball history the last 15 years, which in return shows me that we got to a point to where it was about Cal. It was about John Calipari. It wasn't about Kentucky basketball anymore. And I think that is proof of what it was. But it's pretty disgusting to look at, honestly. Like, it's hard to watch. Cal's gonna be a salesman. You're right. They're gonna devour it. Like, they're hungry for that. That's a good fit. But watching them with highlights of John Wall getting picked and Jamal Murray, Kentucky literally holding up the national championship trophy in 2012. That is one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. I thought it would have been great to have just had like things that he said about Arkansas as a program, but really awkward, Jack, to follow that. Like, this is literally just, it's all Kentucky.
And I like how some of the morons on Twitter were saying, well, Arkansas is a better program than Kentucky anyway. Okay, what's the proof of that? Well, look at since 2020, what the difference between the two programs are. Okay, and who did you just hire as your head coach? It's just like, oh my gosh, you guys are just so dumb. I'm happy for them. I'm glad that they get a freshness and something different that, you know, like we said, it's a new audience, somebody else to hear. Like his messaging just fell upon deaf ears in Lexington now. And I'm glad that he now has the new, you know, I remember hearing all those things for the first time and just, you know, just sitting there like a little kid, just listening, hanging on to every single word. It's fun. I'm glad that they get to experience that for the first time. It's like, you know, watching The Godfather, the movie, and know it like on rerun, knowing it and knowing every line, and then witnessing somebody else watch it for the first time. It's like, it's cool. I'm glad that they get to experience that. It might be Godfather 3, but it's still, you know, it's still the same experience. And I'm glad that somebody else gets to experience and we get our own freshness. We get our own fresh start, if you will. And the search has been as wacky and chaotic, I think, as you could possibly imagine, to the point where the flight tracking and, you know, I remember the door, like the door was the big thing when the Cal search was underway. And that was just everybody refreshing F5, 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 F5 over and over again all day long for that level of excitement. And now it's like today's version of that, where we're getting flight trackers of Joe Kraft's plane and where it's going, where, who he's picking up, where it's landing. Oh my gosh, it disappeared off the flight map. Where, okay. Oh, they diverted to Georgetown. What does that mean? It was the best version of this fan base. I think, Sean, we got to see everybody kind of united as one of, let's just rally behind this program together, no matter who the coach is, that scenario being Scott Drew, let's just all push our chips in and just get excited as hell. Speaking of chips, he ends up finding himself in Waco at a Mexican restaurant, watching Family Feud in the background with a high level booster at Baylor. It was just such a weird, like the out of context college basketball. You get Mi Casita Mexican restaurant, Family Feud, and flight trackers. Just a ridiculous day. Just an unbelievably ridiculous day for BBN.
Yeah, what a well-timed photo too, right? You know, I guess. Everybody wondered if he was in Lexington.
On one of those Scott Drew chips.
Yes, yeah, it's those chips for sure. But no, everybody was wondering, you know, is Scott Drew on this flight? Is Scott Drew in Lexington? Well, clearly he wasn't, but someone was. And I mean, there's obviously been some back and forth, you know, to Waco and things, but the more that I've looked at this, Jack, and the more that I've talked about Scott Drew's name, and I know a lot of people are still all in on Dan Hurley, and I know Billy Donovan, and everybody has their pick. Everybody has who they want. But I truly feel like that once this all settles, and if it is Scott Drew and it ends up being that, I think everybody's going to ultimately be excited once they see the end result. Once they see what a roster looks like, hear an introductory press conference. I said this multiple times. I said it today. You can't look at Scott Drew's time at Baylor without considering what the first 7 years were like, where they had a self-imposed postseason ban when he took over the job. They had limited scholarships with sanctions to the NCAA, from the NCAA, which the NCAA extended all the way through 2010. So when you're talking missed tournaments and you're throwing out the overall number, it's a little misleading. Like you can't really talk about the first 7 years. Like that's tough, especially during a time, Jack, where the landscape of college basketball was significantly different. You didn't have the transfer portal to build your rosters. You had to be able to recruit. You had to have money to host official visits and things like that in recruiting. What he's done at Baylor is revived a program that was dead.
Rubble.
No history whatsoever. Very limited. He wins the Big 12. He competes. He goes head-to-head with Bill Self for a number of years. What most thought was probably the most competitive league top to bottom for a long stretch, and still to this day, well, I know it's undergoing changes, but He won a national championship. This would be, if this goes down, whether Tim or Hurley, it'll be the first time Kentucky has hired a head coach that enters the job with a national championship on their resume. That's a hell of a starting point.
I'm an unbelievable fan of Scott Drew, and talking to basketball people in the basketball world, NBA guys, grassroots guys, just the grand scheme of things in basketball, it's very hard to find somebody more respected in the basketball world than Scott Drew. And that is telling to me, because they all see what Mitch Barnhart sees, that this is a guy that took a Baylor program, not known historically for being this unbelievable juggernaut of a basketball school, to take that program from where it was as a young, brand new coach, his first major gig, and to build it into his own and identify a culture and create a culture there into a perennial contending winner. That goes so far with people. And to, you know, if you build it, they will come. That is Scott Drew at Baylor. He got the resources. He found the backing and got the, you know, shiny facilities built for him because it was him, because it was Scott Drew's Baylor Bears. That is something that Mitch Barnhart saw and was like, man, if he is able to just create the monster that he did at Baylor. And again, people will look at the, early tournament exits and just the tunnel vision, just looking at the record and just say, well, you just ran Cal out. Why are we going to go get a Cal 2.0? Again, we've talked about the messaging and how this program as Cal, I think Cal did a really good job getting his point across about why it was time for him to leave. This program needed a new voice, a fresh voice, something different. Not the used car salesman, here's why we're going to do this, this, and this. I think it needed I'm going to show you. I don't need to have these fancy PR shticks and be this bigger than, you know, larger than life personality. We need somebody that's just going to come in and win basketball games. And I think that is something that, you know, Cal saw the writing on the wall, that his messaging just wasn't getting through to this fan base anymore. And Scott Drew is a guy that his messaging will. He resonates with this culture and this fan base. He's Mitch Barnhart and a basketball coach. Like, I know you want to say what you want about the personality, and yeah, he might be top button Mitch or whatever, but the dude cares about winning, and he cares about building a successful winning environment on his campus. And that's a guy that has done it at a lower level school that he will now have financial backing, assuming that this is the way that this goes. And that's kind of the feel that I'm getting, that he would be able to take it to a new, you know, it's a high floor higher, but he also has a very, very high ceiling, a national championship ceiling with new NIL backing that was not there under John Calipari, that, you know, bridges that were burned that were never going to be rebuilt until John Calipari left are now immediately, you know, they immediately grabbed their hammers and started rebuilding that thing. Those things are important. And I think when push comes to shove, that is a home run. It may on paper not be the grand slam home run that Dan Hurley is, but it's still undoubtedly a single run homer that's going to be what this program, that the shot in the arm that this program needs right now, that the fan base can absolutely rally behind. I could not be more supportive of Scott Drew as the head basketball coach at the University of Kentucky if that's the path that this goes down. And I think that we will know in short order if that's going to be the case. I think Thursday is going to be a very, very big day to know what that future looks like. And I think the ball is absolutely in Scott Drew's court to make that final decision, Sean.
Yeah, I think so as well. And you mentioned all those things about Drew, and what makes him such a good candidate for the job is he's loyal to the core. I mean, we're talking about a guy that built that program, has stayed with that program for over 20 years, pulled it from the rubble and got it to a national championship. And as the comment said a moment ago, was the best team in the country in the year that COVID canceled the NCAA tournament. So we don't know what that holds. And there are some early exits. There's multiple second round exits in a row. You can't really look at the NITs and things like that because the program was just in a different place. I mean, Kentucky basketball under John Calipari went to NIT. So, like, you have those outliers there, but what you have is you have consistent winning. You have a guy that has a proven track record. It's a clean program, well-respected, all the boxes that Mitch Barnhart was looking for when this coaching search started. He checks every single one of them, and he just so happens to win, and he has a national championship. That you don't see coaches move around a lot in college basketball that have national championships.
In high level successful ones that are foundation guys.
Yes.
Those guys don't move.
You just so happen to have possibly two moving back and forth here in the same carousel in Cal to Arkansas and possibly this one. And then
isn't it wild that SMU move just completely shook up the landscape? Like that one hire created a carousel effect that just completely shook up college basketball forever. Like I just can't believe that was the one trigger of everything. Just like the dynamite, the one button press, and everything went poof.
Yeah, it's wild. It's all it takes, though. It's all it takes, and then you'll have a domino effect. And when this goes down, Kentucky is pulling a sitting head coach, a proven head coach from a program. Someone else is getting pulled, and then that job is going to get filled. And then that's when transfer portal stuff really starts to pick up even more, is when that happens. That's why, to me, it's important that this thing gets done here this weekend. So then you can kind of hit the ground running here and putting a roster together. And the other things about this, Jack, there's going to be some familiar names pop up to Kentucky fans if Scott Drew's the guy. You know, some names that Kentucky fans were recently hoping that they would have. Like there's names there.
A straight up win in a straight up recruiting battle victory over John Calipari and John Shire at Duke.
Yeah.
That's DJ Edgecombe would be. And I mean, all right. So let's talk about Dan Hurley, because that is the one that I had heard even going into the postseason, that the way, like, Dan Hurley is a Northeast guy to his core. His wife is a Northeast guy to her core. They have built a foundation there and a life that he's a legend. Like he has become, by going back to back, he has become a statue builder guy in Storrs, Connecticut. The issue with that mindset, and the people have just kind of had tunnel vision with that, because the culture is such a phenomenal one there, in that you can't imagine a better setup for, you know, in terms of comfort, and that he was going to get the raise that is inevitable with every high level season and winning a national championship, obviously. But there is something that has been missing to the general public about Dan Hurley and how he operates. And the reason why I truly think every time he's been asked about this topic, and, well, what happens if you back up the Brinks truck to you? What happens if, you got this call from wherever? The reason why some of his verbiage has been very interesting, and you go back to leaving Rhode Island and, you know, losing that game in five, you know, saying there's no way I'm looking at another school. I'd never do that. You know, he just could not be more against the possibility of leaving. And then 5 days later, he accepts the job at UConn. The way he operates is this hunger, this drive and desire to be, like I've said on this show and different platforms, the king of the sport. That's all he cares about. He wants to be the best of the best at the best of the best. And yes, UConn is the modern day blue blood, but Kentucky will always be the traditional blue blood. It will always be the bluest of bloods, as John Calipari so eloquently put it before then saying Arkansas is also in that category, which is just could not be further from the truth. But he wants to be the king of the sport. He's already been the king at UConn. There's nothing left to add there to his legacy beyond a three-peat, which is great, but winning a title at Kentucky is a completely different. You become this a larger-than-life figure in the game itself when you do that. But the issue with Dan Hurley is that doesn't extend to just Kentucky. It's not the end destination for him, because he also has NBA dreams. It's not a secret internally with Dan Hurley that he would like to be the head coach of the New York Knicks one day, that he would like to, at the end of the day be the biggest of the biggest on the world basketball greatest stage. So I think there is a risk with a guy like Dan Hurley where, yes, in the short term, there is no better option in college basketball than Dan Hurley. He is the juggernaut. He is an absolute monster train rolling down the track with no end in sight. Like, that guy has it rolling in ways that nobody else in college basketball can touch. The issue is when you have a guy that's so wired and obsessed with next and what's more, again, he's compared to 90s Rick Pitino. What was the issue with 90s Rick Pitino? He always just wanted the best and more and more and more. Kind of grass is always green, you know, isn't always greener on the other side. That's modern day Dan Hurley. That's how he operates. So there is a risk there that if you were to push all your chips in and give him this behemoth of an offer, this godfather offer, that there is a chance that he leaves in 2 years to be the head coach of the New York Knicks. Whenever Tom Thibodeau leaves, and you know, he's also kind of this white knuckle human being that, you know, the NBA is a fickle thing. Like, those jobs change by the day. That's where his eye is. That's the end destination. And there is something to be said about him being a stepping, that Kentucky would be the final stepping stone to his actual dream. And that's in the NBA. So think of who our athletic director is. Think of the way he operates. He is not a high risk, high reward type of guy. John Calipari was kind of the full extent of that. And that was in a desperate time for the program. He at his core likes safety, but it's not a, you know, going to hire your buddy because he has a tight relationship. It's because he sees, well, this is a national championship guy that I know can compete at the highest of levels. How far is the gap truly between Scott Drew and Dan Hurley in his mind for building a foundation for Kentucky basketball in the next step beyond John Calipari? I don't think in Mitch Barnhart's mind it's that significant. And when you think of it from a big picture standpoint and setting the long-term goal of this program, I can see where Mitch Barnhart is coming from and where you would want to go get an answer from Scott Drew and say, let's just see what happens here while still kind of vetting Dan Hurley and talking to his representation and the people around him and just saying, hey, just want you to know we got the goods. And if this conversation goes this way, we're going to reel you in. But I think Mitch Barnhart wants Scott Drew to tell him no before extending that godfather offer and kind of doing whatever it takes to reel Dan Hurley in. I think Scott Drew is number one.
Yeah, I do too. And here's the thing with Scott Drew. His name has been tossed around as a possible replacement for a while now. You and I have known about it. A lot of people in these comments have known about it. You know, I remember an article in September where Truly Donovan was talking about the coaching carousel in the Big 12 before the season ever started, and hidden inside that article was Scott Drew and paying attention to the Kentucky job. This isn't just something that's just happened overnight for Drew. You can't tell me that even though he's done his job at Baylor, that it's not been in the back of his mind that if Kentucky opens, my relationship with Mitch Barnhart, that connection, it's probably going to get me a phone call. It is something that he's probably been able to mentally prepare for. And then when all the stuff with Cal and Arkansas started happening over the weekend, you know, he was probably gearing up and getting ready for those phone calls and those conversations to happen. And then it just comes down to whether or not you and your family want to make that move. You've been somewhere for 20 years. You are beloved there. But Waco's not Lexington and Baylor's not Kentucky. You have done great things there. You have won a national championship. If he leaves, they're hiring a really good head coach. The program is in a much better spot because of Scott Drew than it ever was prior to him. That's a really good sign, too, in what you're getting. I think, Jack, in my opinion, this ends with Scott Drew. I'd be shocked if it didn't. Obviously, we need to see what decisions are made in the next, 12 to 24 hours, but it certainly sounds like it's going to be Scott Drew's yes or no. And if you get a no, then you kind of shift and move towards what's next. But Drew has been, to me, priority number one for Mitch Barnhart. And I think that if Mitch gets it, I think Mitch feels really good about it. And you're probably, if we're talking shelf life of this job being 8 to 10 years, his age, that's a guy that in 8 to 10 years, I'm confident he's getting Kentucky to the Final Four. And I'm confident that he's probably winning a national championship here. I trust Scott Drew to win a title in Lexington if he's the head coach.
Yeah. And I know fans are impatient with this. Like, I understand that they saw the reports of, you know, Scott Drew, you know, Mitch meeting with Scott Drew and that conversation ramping up. And I know that they wanted to see a final answer this afternoon. Scott Drew is the new head coach at the University of Kentucky. I know they want that. But also understand that Scott Drew has 21 years of loyalty and trust and foundation built in Waco, where that's a really emotional decision for him. This is a really, like, I think, as you said, Sean, he knew that this call was coming, and I know that he had to mentally prepare himself. And that's what's kind of fascinating about the dynamics of how this day has worked. Was I got informed several days ago, you know, shortly after that, you know, once it became clear that Cal was, you know, going to take the Arkansas job and that this was moving, that, that Scott Drew was going to be interested, that Scott, like, had kind of made it clear that, you know, you heard, you know, Bruce Pearl wants it. Chris Beard wants it. I got people reaching out to me saying Will Wade wants it. He's desperate for it. He'll, you know, crawl over glass to Lexington to take this job. You hear all those things. And then when Scott Drew pops up and it's like, it's a, hey, we're serious about this. Let's make this happen. I think that's an immediate on Mitch Barnhart's side to go, oh, that's the guy that I've always had in the back of my mind. That's a pretty easy starting point for this. That's an easy way to do. Obviously, you have to have a conversation with Dan Hurley. You have to. You have to do the fans that favor because of what they've gone through the last 4 years. You owe it to the fan base to have a conversation with Dan Hurley. You have to. It's also my understanding that the boosters very clearly made it clear that they wanted a conversation with Dan Hurley to happen. So those kind of dynamics and trying to juggle those things, the way coaching searches work, you don't want to have your guy, you know, have your guy and then be having these conversations on the side and really ramping up your interest and then having it get back to Scott Drew and be like, wait, I thought that I was your number one. I thought I was the guy that, you know, you want me to uproot my life of 21 years in Waco and only to go to Storrs, Connecticut and give him a godfather. Like, you got to understand the way that these personalities work, that you can't really just kind of cast a wide net immediately. Feelers are always going to be put out and like, hey, how you feeling? What's going to cost? What, like, can we at least get in the ballpark here? Are you even remotely interested in that? And I think that's how you get the Nate Oates statements of the world, where that was clearly going to be something that I don't necessarily think that Nate was option one or two on Mitch's list. And I think that he kind of realized that and decided to say, I'm not going to take it, even if it were to get to options three or four or whatever. So it's a very fickle, it's a very touchy, fragile thing doing these coaching searches. And that's why you almost have to, if you have a gut feeling of, I know that Scott Drew is going to be a national championship winner at the University of Kentucky. I know he's going to lead this program. I feel it. I respect the decision to say, I know that the layup is Dan Hurley in everybody's mind, that's the one everybody wants. But damn, man, I really don't think the gap is that significant. I think that the long-term shelf life of what Scott is going to give you, it's worth pushing your chips in and saying, let's just see where this goes. And if that doesn't take off the way that you expect it to, then let's get back to the Godfather offer. Then let's get back to Billy Donovan, what that looks like, and, you know, move to the next tier of guys. But I think it's Scott Drew and then those other two for now.
And that's the thing about it too. Like, the people that think that Dan Hurley would have already said no, like, you're not just going to say no without taking that offer and leveraging it with your current job. If somebody's going to offer you $11 million or more, you're not just going to say no to it. You're going to say, well, you know, this is where this stands. And then you're going to go back to UConn, and UConn's going to negotiate, and they're going to reconstruct, you know, some type of contract for you. There's leverage there when it gets to that point. But to me, it has started with Drew, and that is where we are. Have they fielded other things? Are they gathering information just in case? 110%. There are names and there are things that are ready in place to move forward if they need to. Now it's about whether or not they need to move forward with someone else. And I want to say I'm a little shocked at the kickback on Drew, but I'm not.
It's not Dan. I mean, they wanted a public no from Dan before it became a public yes from Scott.
But for the most part, I think that Drew probably has a lot of support as being the next head coach here at Kentucky. There's not everyone's always going to agree. Some people are saying that it's a bad hire. What makes it a bad hire? Like, if you can tell me that I can take a coach that has won a national championship and then the back half of his career has been more successful than the beginning when he inherited a program that was on probation, he built it, he has stayed there. This is a team that Kentucky played in the Elite Eight in 2012. So he's gotten there the year Kentucky won a national championship. And then how wild is it that Baylor was actually and Scott Drew was the team that ended Kentucky's long home court winning streak at Rupp Arena in 2013 and then beat John Calipari and Kentucky again in Dallas in a neutral site game. Like, Scott had his success against Cal. And he's been in the Big 12. He's battled Kansas for a conference title, won a national championship. That's what I keep coming back to. And it's not – and don't give me the whole it was in the bubble and it doesn't count stuff. If Kentucky had done it and got to the bubble and won it, we'd be claiming it and saying the opposite.
We're using that season as one of the turning points of the John Calipari era. So if we're going to use that against Cal, you got to give Scott Drew credit for winning it in that environment.
And they were dominant. When you go back and watch that championship game, they were dominant in who they were on both ends of the floor. Now, offensively, analytics and things, their numbers in KenPom have been really, really strong for the last half decade. Now, the defensive numbers have actually slipped in KenPom the last couple of years, and that's something that you'd want to see get fixed. But this is a coach that if he gets the job, Jack, a lot of people making a big deal about Kentucky losing recruits and not having anybody on the roster. And like, this is what – I've seen people the last couple of days like – well, this is what you all wanted. This is what it was always going to be when Cal left. It was always going to be like this. What do you mean this is what we wanted? At some point, Cal was going to leave this program, and it was going to get the exact same results as what we're getting today. Everybody was going to decommit and go elsewhere.
And this is the year to do it.
And this is the year to do it. Exactly. This is the class to do it with. You're going to look up, if this hire gets done in the coming days, we're going to be doing an episode sometime in mid to late May. And we're going to be talking about names on this roster, and people are going to be in these comments, and they're going to be excited, and they're going to be able to look and see something then. Right now, it's hard to see because there's no names to see. Once you have that, I think you start to get some excitement. You get to hear him speak. Listen, I'm all in on Scott Drew. I know there's some people wanting us to talk about Billy Donovan. The timeline for Billy is what makes it difficult for him. But if you get a no on Drew, you get a no on Hurley, that pushes us into next week, and then you start getting closer to that date, and then maybe that's where Kentucky goes. I don't think you want to go beyond that tier. If you get into that next tier, coaches, that's when it can get a little messy, and that's when I start feeling nervous about where Kentucky goes, is if it gets beyond that. That's why I'm hopeful it doesn't even get to that point.
And that's where I go back to the patience thing, because fans wanted an answer like today. If it was going to be Scott, like, let's just push all of our chips in. Hope, like saying, well, we can't get turned down by Scott and then have to result. Like, I get that, but also know how, again, it's an emotional decision. It's my understanding that the plane thing and who was on that plane, it wasn't Scott Drew, but who was on that plane, you can put some, you know, put two and two together and understand that people that matter were on that plane, and it is leading to sleeping on a decision where you can really take some time to sleep on it and say, what does our, you know, what is, are we really ready to take this plunge? I mean, this is uprooting 21 years of life and legacy and happiness and a cushy situation where, admittedly, they're not calling Mexican restaurants in the middle of a day while you're at lunch with somebody saying, hey, go over to the guy in the white polo and say, come to Kentucky. That's not happening at Baylor. I hope not, because that'd be a really weird thing for a Baylor fan to do, to say, go to Kentucky. But it's a fishbowl unlike anything Scott Drew's ever felt before. And I, you know, if there is a level of uneasiness and going, whoa, I'm kind of under a spotlight that I've never been a part of before, it's, you know, that's something to keep in mind. But it's also like, I don't think that's going to affect him the way I think some people are worried about it. Like, I don't think that he used today as a, oh my gosh, I'm getting cold feet, I need to not do this. Like, I think it's just more of a, you know, I have a really good thing going here, why would I want to change that, even if Kentucky is bigger and better? You know, it's kind of the same argument for a Dan Hurley. And part of the reason why I still think that that would be a conversation worth having if the money was what is supposed to be. So I expect right now them to be at home talking about it, weighing those feelings and those emotions and, you know, just kind of the gut feeling and, you know, prayer. And, you know, again, it's a very religious family. They're praying over it and just seeing what that looks like and going into tomorrow and knowing what their future looks like. And then that allows you to have some type of clarity moving forward. And if you do get past that point, I do expect them to push everything in on Dan Hurley and just say, I'm going to make you say no. And I also think that Billy Donovan, I think, you know, talking to people around Billy Donovan, I had some productive conversations about that. I never got a no on Billy. I never did. Not once. Every time it was, the timing's not right. Well, right now he's the head coach of the Chicago Bulls. He's only focused on the Chicago Bulls. His quotes before and after the game about, you know, just where his mind is at and what that looks like. That's a guy that I think that if that was your fallback option, if Scott Drew were to go to bed tonight and wake up and say, my heart's still in Waco, and he turns that down, and then Dan Hurley says, my heart's still in stores, I can't do that. The raise that I'm getting with this administration, it's too much to pass up. This is my home, whatever. If you do have to get to that point after the play-in game, April 18th is when that conversation, or I guess it would be that if they lose April 17th, you could talk to him April 18th. And I feel really good that it wouldn't have to get past that point. I don't think it's going to get past Scott Drew, but I definitely don't think that it would have to get past the, okay, well, what the heck does the post Billy Donovan look like? Oh, is it going to be Rick Pitino? Is it going to be Bruce Pearl? Is it going to be Chris Beard? Like, if we have to get to that level of stuff, I think that would be dangerous. I think that is that's where you would get very, very uncomfortable if you got past the group of three. I'm happy that we've all kind of settled on a group of three and there's a winning formula with all of them.
Yeah, and I see people in the, I mean, I'm reading the comments because it's hard to keep up because there's over 4,000 people in here right now. But when you look at it, a lot of people talking about Scott Drew, and I saw somebody say, you know, 60% win percentage. You can't look at that when how bad it was when he got to Baylor. He had no players on a roster and he took the job 2.5 months before practice started. Probation, limited scholarships. It took him 5 years to even really build a program to the point that they could even compete and make the NCAA tournament. There were a lot of losses that piled up. 21, 19, 13, 16, 11, and 15 in his first 6 years. But then like 8 or 9 years in, he goes 30-8 and takes Baylor to the Elite Eight, loses to Kentucky.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
But then the back half of this, the COVID season, 26-4, and then 28-2 in a national championship, 27-7. Now, the last 2 years have been 23-11, but we're talking top seeds in the tournament, Jack. But then I see people saying, well, Bruce Pearl's better than Scott Drew. What's the difference? Like, when you look at Bruce Pearl's resume, it's a first-round exit. It's a second-round exit, a second-round exit, not being eligible for the tournament, tournament canceled, one Final Four and a round of 32. Like, what is different? There's a national championship in Drew's. So a lot of people have different opinions on this. I get that. But you have to look at it overall, what Scott has built in Baylor. And no, nobody's pushing us to say things about.
I think that part's been hilarious that we've that become is, a mouthpiece for Mitch. I think that is just laughable. Mitch, if you're listening, please just let me know, because this job has been really freaking difficult over the last 72 hours. I would appreciate a layup. That'd be fantastic if you're listening, yeah, bud. Thank you.
It would be. And my thing is like, I mean, we've come on here and been honest about it and talked about change and needed change. Like, no, nobody's going to tell me what to say. Like, I'm going to tell you what I truly see. And I see a winner in Scott Drew. I see a winner in Dan Hurley. I see a winner in Billy Donovan. I'm just talking about what is best that I think for this program for the next 8 to 10 years. If we look up and Scott Drew gets hired at Kentucky right now, and 3 years from now, Dan Hurley gets to the Knicks, being at Kentucky wasn't going to change that. If his ultimate dream is to go to the NBA, like you were talking about, just putting that out there, we're going to look back and be like, man, we had a guy for 3 years and now we're doing this coaching search again. Like, I hope that if it is Scott Drew, I hope it's successful. You get an 8 to 10 year run out of him. And then you're ready to pass the torch on to somebody else. Cause I think that's what
we won't be with Mitch. And it will not be with Mitch.
This is an important hire for Mitch. Like, when you hire Cal, the next guy you hire was going to be extremely difficult because the success that, like, we have talked a lot about Cal's shortcomings and things in the recent years, but what John Calipari meant to this program and what he was for this program and the success that he had early is what carried that marriage on for as long as it was. It was hard to let go of because it was so dang good, Jack, for so long, that the next hire was going to be extremely difficult. If this is one that Mitch feels confident in, I'm going to choose this time to trust Mitch Barnhart, because this is a very important hire to go out on. This is going to be the last men's basketball hire that he makes if everything goes as planned. That's why this one to me means something that I think he wants to get right. And I think Drew is the guy he trusts in all those boxes that he checks.
Trust. Go back to the comments that, looking back, how hilarious were Cal and Mitch's weird TV interview comments after agreeing to come back. I can't even believe that was a part. I can't believe we're living in this reality and timeline right now, but listen to those words carefully and why he brought up the exit plan. He made it very clear that he wants to leave this program better than he found it, and that he wants it to be a healthy, safe, comfortable spot for the next guy. He thought that was going to be hand-in-hand with John Calipari as they made their exit. Cal had hot pants for Fayetteville, which, hate to break it to you guys in Razorback Nation, that was not the case, and he did get cold feet, and that got really, really, really awkward for a minute. So sloppy seconds in Fayetteville, really hog nation to a T. I lost my train of thought. I don't even know what I was trying to say. I was trying to make a stupid joke, but what was I saying? I don't even remember.
I don't know where you're going with that. We went all over the place.
Oh, the hand in hand comment with he wanted to talk. He talked about the exit strategy with John Calipari and leaving the program better than he found it. What did we talk about to start all of this with Scott Drew and the current status of Baylor basketball? The program where he had it when he got there versus where it is right now, the health and the trajectory and the buy-in and the resources. I mean, he's a legend down there. He is untouchable down in Waco because of where he started and where he got it. And Mitch Barnhart sees that and says that the current health of the program right now that you have it at Baylor, I want that feeling when hopefully we both go out at the same time. Maybe you're here before and, you know, we can kind of work together on who the next guy is or whatever that is. But if that's going to be the plan, I want to have somebody that I can feel safe with the future of my program, of my school. He trusts Scott Drew to be that guy. I trust Scott Drew to be that guy. Do you trust Dan Hurley to be that guy? In the short term, he's gonna make you a Final Four, and I think I would personally take that risk. I don't want to lose sight of that too. I think Dan Hurley is worth the risk of the short term window and knowing that there's probably something bigger and better in his eyes, I would take that risk because I know that he would win within, at maximum, I've been told, 5 years. Five years is the absolute most, but you probably 2 years is the, you know, something just where you have to at least start keeping an eye on it. I trust him to go to a Final Four and win a championship in that window. So for me, it's worth it. But if you're Mitch Barnhart and you're looking overall health and safety of the program, there's no way you can look at Scott Drew and not say, wow, that guy isn't going to leave this program better than he found it when he shows up on campus. And that's something that the buy-in is unbelievably high with Mitch Barnhart.
Yeah, I agree with you on all those points. And, you know, somebody did make a good point about, you know, Dan Hurley. If you were to get Hurley, you are delivering a pretty significant blow to a program that is climbing in national championships. Like, I get that one. But what we've also seen with UConn is they're also a program that has had multiple coaches win national championships. Like, that program has, to me, cemented itself.
Kevin Ollie won a national championship at UConn. It would be fine.
And they would. But, I mean, obviously going back-to-back and things, but which is tough to do in today's, you know, world of college basketball. But Jack, let's just say that this does get done here in the next 24 hours. And let's say that Scott Drew is the pick. It's pretty important if you can get this thing accomplished now. Get your guy, get him here, and then start piecing a roster together. Is there anyone, you know, that could possibly come back? Is there someone that's currently on the Kentucky roster? Is there a recruit, like obviously Travis Perry and stuff, that, you know, we can talk about and things? But piecing this roster together and getting a head start on it's pretty important. And the longer you wait, you're kind of setting yourself up to kind of already be behind the eight ball before you ever even get started. So that's why I think that moving quickly, as soon as Cal left and we knew it was happening, what, Sunday night, pretty much, I said by the end of the week, there needed to be somebody in place. That's on pace right now. If this can get done, you can get it and get a jump start on what you're doing. And I think that's probably the most important part here is if this can get done, it needs to get done quickly. You need to get started and start piecing together what your roster could look like. And that could all happen quickly too. Once this gets done,
you lost Jaden Quaintance today. You lost Somptos Hero. You're going to end up losing Boogie Flane. You already lost Carter Knox. You know, Travis Perry is very obviously somebody to keep an eye on is someone who's probably going to keep it, you know, solidify his spot here, and that's somebody that you want long term around here. I think Scott Drew would love him, but that's also a draw for Drew versus Billy Donovan. I would be really concerned about Billy Donovan's roster construction if we were to wait on him till potentially as early as next week is the absolute minimum. If they were to make this miracle run into the playoffs, I mean, you're talking a month. That's a really tricky situation with the portal closing and just how you're going to construct a roster. That'd be a really, really tricky, dangerous position to be in. I think you would be in a really nice spot with Drew, with who you may have coming back next year, who you know, in terms of who you would be able to bring with you to Kentucky. You have a top three recruiting class led by VJ Edgecombe, a guy that all of us drooled over. One that we wanted in a Kentucky uniform that John Calipari couldn't get, fought like tooth and nail to try to land him and couldn't. You feel pretty good about landing him. And then you kind of reset the table a little bit with some of these current decisions. What does Reed Shepard do? That's one that feeling really good about him going pro, but that's a first phone call. I mean, that's if you get Scott Drew tomorrow, the first phone call at 8 p.m. tomorrow is what are we going to do about Reed Shepard? Is there any chance that I could get him back? But then you start selling the brand. Then you start hammering down the roster construction, what the foundation is going to look like, what your team's identity is going to be. It's going to, you know, stick with the script of what's been working at Baylor, but roster is so important. You're not going to have any high school guys. You can re-recruit. It's a really interesting thing with Jaden Quaintance. I was very familiar with his situation, talked to his father every single day about the nitty-gritty of what was going on, where his heart was, the thoughts with all that. The first conversation I had was, hey, we signed with the University of Kentucky. We have a soft spot for this program. We did feel that we wanted to be Wildcats in Lexington. Yeah, it was a 50-50 decision with John Calipari and Kentucky, but our heart was in Lexington. We'd like to hear from Mitch on what his mindset is. What is he thinking? Is the next guy going to want us? Like, or do we need to just kind of start the next process? Like, what is that going to look like? Didn't hear from them, and that's why we got to today, where he kind of felt that we just, you know, got to at least be able to explore our options and see what that looks like. But the first conversation with all of this unfolding was, we're very open to Kentucky. We'd like to hear what that pitch is. I like Scott Drew. Like, we're talking different coaching options or whatever. They flat out said, I like Scott Drew. He recruited Jaden a little bit in high school. That's something, you know, keep an eye on too. Probably unlikely, but it's at least a start. It's at least something for Scott to be able to say, hey, that guy's available. He's the top available prospect in high school basketball right now. Let's just go do it. Then you can start having the conversations about, okay, Jasper Johnson, that's a guy that you could probably reel in pretty quickly as a reclass guy. You can find your pieces and put together a pretty bang up roster in a hurry, because he already has a nice little foundation set in Waco. People will want to follow him. You have the nice recruiting class, transfer portal. He's done extremely, extremely well. I firmly believe that Scott Drew could build you a contender in year one. And I think that's very important. The drop off and difference from just kind of continuing the momentum of the program, I think that's very important for Mitch Barnhart as well.
It is. It is very important. And I'm with you. I think that a contender is in place at Kentucky here in about 8 to 10 weeks, if Scott Drew is the guy. And I don't know how many people, obviously, I don't know if you're just catching this episode, but I talked about this the other night, that you're built to withstand something like this now in college basketball, where 5 years ago, before the transfer portal, before NIL, it would have been more difficult because Kentucky would have been starting over and this roster was going to get gutted at any point that Cal left. It would have been in year 6, year 9, year 11, year 14. It didn't matter, Jack. Like, it was going to be completely different and run the risk and the chance of no one being left over from it, especially now that you're in the portal era. But the portal allows you to build something immediately. Having a recruiting class in place allows you to bring something with you. That's my only kickback on Billy Donovan being the hire. There's no recruiting class to come with him, and there's been no activity in the transfer portal in having to do it and navigate it. And then having to navigate that as soon as you come in.
Decade.
That is tough. Now, if you could give Billy the job where something's already in place and then let him kind of learn the climate, and it's new, there would have to be a transition period here. If you do that, you'd better have your staff and some guys that have had something in involvement with it. So that's my one kickback to Donovan being the hire, is you're needing to work, and you're needing to work quickly. And I just don't know if that is the best thing for Kentucky, to piece something together immediately. If you do that, maybe expectations are a little bit tempered, and then you kind of go forward from there. But if it gets down to it, Donovan's on the list, like X's and O's guy, winning national championships. I trust him to do that. I just think being good immediately could be a little bit strained, where it's not as much if you get a Hurley or you get a Scott Drew.
And if we're just putting talking points out there, and, you know, I've tried to do as much vetting and research and working the phones literally all day. My wife hates my guts, and my baby probably forgets that I'm even his dad at this point. But talking to people about Billy Donovan, there has been some pushback a little bit in terms of, he'd have to be an X's and O's mastermind in Lexington for that to work, at least immediately, because of how, I mean, a decade, we talk about dog years with John Calipari, a decade in out of college basketball years. I mean, it's been four steps removed, different levels of this game, and how the game is played, what it takes to get kids, what wires kids, you know, what gets kids ticking, like all of those things, completely different than when he left the college game a decade ago. So the pushback is, he's not seen as this mastermind in the NBA right now, where, you know, kind of the Brad Stevens thing. Well, he always had the X's and O's. He's always just been this brilliant guy, but he just didn't really connect well with kids. And that's part of the reason why he said, you know what, I'm going to get out of the head coaching game. I'm just going to become the GM and just kind of make the decisions. And like, I know this guy is good. I know this guy is good. They're going to look good together on the floor. That's what Brad Stevens became, because the connecting wasn't there anymore. There's kind of a similar vibe with Billy Donovan in the NBA, where he's been solid, but never next level for what it would probably take for him at the college game and what that transition period would look like. And if it truly is, you have to hire a general manager, you have to hire, you know, just a bang up recruiting staff, you would almost have to just be all in on being an absolute basketball genius. And some of the pushback is there's a lot of 07 Florida still to his game in today's 2024 NBA game. And people are just kind of like, the frustrations we had with John Calipari before this past season were, all right, we got to let's keep moving with the times. Let's keep adjusting. So I think it would work. But there's a reason I think he's a tier below the top two clear 1A, 1B candidates. I think Billy is a firm three before we start getting into the other guys. And, you know, I think it would work. I would trust just the substance there, because he has been Kentucky's golden goose for so long. But I just don't – I understand why there's some pushback there.
Yeah, the timing and stuff is better for Billy now, but not like the immediate timing when it comes to the playoffs and things. But as far as not coming off back-to-back national championships and then being in the SEC at a rival program like Florida, like obviously the fit and things and the history is there. It's just, it's been such a long time. It's been a decade since he's been in the game. Do I think that he would have success in college basketball again? Yeah, I do. He figured it out once. I think he'd figure it out again, but I just don't think it gets to that point, Jack. I don't. But if it goes beyond those three names, that's when I start to panic just a little bit. Well, probably just probably a lot, honestly, because that's when you start getting into another tier of coaches that you don't want to have to go to. When you have to make a change like this and you have to make a move, and this wasn't Kentucky firing John Calipari. This was him going out and choosing to go to Arkansas. You had to make a decision here. I guess the one good thing about this is if there were discussions about when they lost to Oakland about can we move on, these names were already brought up once in those discussions. So you already had something there ready to roll. Now you're rolling with it. And I think that getting somebody that we've talked about is very important. But to me, Scott Drew it's a safe one. And I think it's the right one.
I agree. Somebody called me out on my sleep deprivation, saying that I called it a single run home run instead of a solo shot. I'm like, buddy, to explain the level of jello that's in my brain right now, like my eyes just seeing screens for 72 hours straight, like my screen time is at like 97% or whatever. Sean, how have the last 72 hours been for you? Like, just how often are you on your phone? How often are you reaching out to old friends? How many people are reaching out to you asking what the hell is the deal? Because that has been a whole new ball game of old friends and people that I haven't heard from in a decade, having the answers or wanting the answers. And it's a lot. It's been a lot.
Somebody said I got too big for them to talk Kentucky basketball, and that's actually not true. It's the fact that I have 57 unread Facebook messages at the moment that I've not opened yet, and I currently have 37 unread text messages that I don't even know what those are. They're not group text because I open our group, but it's been crazy. And then I'll step out in the hallway at work this week, and I'll go to do something in between blocks, and I've got people in the building. Like, there's so many teachers at Douglas that I don't know all of them, but in the last 2 weeks, I have discovered that I think everyone in the building listens to Sources Say, and they'll be like, man, I was one of the 5,000 people on there live the other night at 1 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, who are you again? Cause there's so many hallways. Like, I don't meet everyone, but the last couple of days, I've had admins, I've had coaches, I've had whoever, like, who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? So I'm sure you're feeling the same stuff too. It's crazy. Like, this is the first coaching change that we've dealt with since doing this job. And we knew it would be a whirlwind when it got here. And it has been. Question is, when does it end?
Cool. I hope soon. I hope we can.
For a press conference.
I would love one. I would really, really enjoy that. Name a non-top three hire that you would be comfortable with. Name one that if absolute disaster strikes and you don't land any of the three and you have to get to the next tier, what does that look like and who is your pick?
You asked for it. Rick Pitino.
I knew it. I knew you'd do it.
If you're talking a 3 to 4 year window here, I don't want Brad Underwood. I don't want Shaka Smart. I don't want to go that route. I would take Bruce Pearl because the personality and the relating to the fans, and I think he would be enough to just ignite it and give some juice to the program. He's been successful multiple stops. Bruce or Rick. And it would be the most come full circle moment ever if Rick Pitino were to replace John Calipari at Kentucky and then somehow win a national championship again and then look back and be like, man, imagine how many of these we could have won if I'd have stayed the other 25 to 30 years. Like, that's not happening, but that would be – you probably wonder
could
more.
Could you imagine? Answer,
but like,
that's, could you that's, imagine? Could you imagine people, watching him just strut out for his opening press conference and goes, hey, I remember what you said about me when I was at Louisville. I read all of it. I heard all of it. Now I'm king again. Here I am on my throne, back where I belong. I would enjoy it. I think I look, everything that Rick Pitino does turns to gold. So for us, it ain't hurting us. I think from an X's and O's standpoint, he would continue to do what he does really, really well. I don't know how much he has left in the tank, but he's got something. It's not a terrible, terrible thing. I don't think Mitch would ever do it, but I wouldn't hate it. My guy is Will Wade, and it's not close. And I don't think it's really that big of a surprise to the audience that I'm a big Will Wade guy, just learning things behind the scenes about how he operates in the post strong ass offer era of Will Wade, when he was trying to carve out a name for himself in the SEC and exceeded every expectation imaginable in Baton Rouge there for a minute, did it because he was cheating his ass off, but still nonetheless was still competing. Now everything that he did is legal. And he still is that same grinder, is the same dog that knows how to go get dudes, knows how to build rosters, and knows he's just obsessive, just mastermind of his craft as well. Will Wade is going to be a star for somebody. It ain't going to be for Mitch Barnhart, but somebody's going to take a chance on Will Wade, and they're going to be very, very happy with that decision down the road. And I'm personally rooting for him. I used to be a Will Wade hater, but I've really come around on him, especially in the current NIL landscape where everything is pay for play. So it's really, really stupid that he's still seen as this just evil person in the basketball landscape. Like, he just thought NIL was cool before it was legal. So that's my guy. What are your thoughts on Will Wade?
I mean, As a guy that can win basketball games and works hard, yeah, I'm with you there for sure. But I'm still stuck on the whole me saying Rick Pitino thing. And I was hoping you would toss me that question because at dinner tonight I had the same discussion with someone when they asked me that. And when I said it on here, I knew I was serious. I didn't know I was serious until I said it again. But I wasn't joking there. Like, that would be my pick. So I don't think you're joking either. Will Wade would be yours.
He would crush it. I'm telling you, in whatever this alternate universe, Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse, like, I get it. I know it's never going to happen, but I'm telling you, if you were to live in that reality of whatever that dimension is, Will Wade's leading this program to a Final Four, and he's doing it legally. Sean, man, this has been a fun show. I'm excited. We're in a new era. We have new things to talk about. We don't have to just listen to the same Calisms over and over again. I'm excited for this. I really feel that the future of Kentucky basketball is bright, and we ain't slowing down. We're going to keep this thing rolling. It's going to be a blast. What's your final prediction? Name a time Thursday that we hear a final answer on Scott Drew.
4 p.m.
I think he's going to have the decision, and it's going to get to the finalizing stage by lunchtime, and then it gets leaked early afternoon. I agree. Press conference Friday. I think that makes sense. Yeah, I completely agree. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun little era for all of us. Before we get out of here, the Source Today podcast is brought to you by Andy Ludeke and MyPerfectFranchise.net. Andy is a franchise consultant as well as franchise owner and helps people find franchises that fit their skill sets, financial requirements, time to commit, and more. His services are 100% free, and he is here to help. If you have any questions about business ownership, you can learn more and contact Andy anytime at www.MyPerfectFranchise.net. It's been exhausting. It's been a whirlwind, but I have whiplash from how this has all unfolded here recently. But man, I'm excited for this next era, Sean. I'm sure you are too. It's going to be fun, and we're going to be along for the ride. Let's get out of here. Where can fans find your work?
Yeah, this is tricky because this is the first time I've said this on here, but you can follow me at @_CoachSSmith. So Twitter handle or X handle has changed.
Why'd you make it so difficult? Why, well, with the underscores,
probably because I have the most common name known to man. So Sean Smith, I mean, you know, there's probably 5,000 Twitter accounts that are Sean Smith, and you know, come to find out Coach Smith's not available,
but there's only one Coach Sean Smith. That's what this Twitter sphere is missing.
That one's not available either.
Tisk tisk.
If anybody's got a suggestion, send them to me and I'll change it again.
So I tried. It's been weird. I don't know how to navigate the username world of Twitter. Luckily, Pilgrim's not a very common name, so I can get as creative as possible. But all right, let's get out of here. You can find me on Twitter at JackPilgrimKSR. Go subscribe to KSR Plus. It is absolutely out of control. Almost just like it's a whole different monster than it was like a week ago. So I'm trying to just keep that reined in a little bit. It's been really, really hard, and well, we appreciate it. It's fun. It's a fun ride with the new KS board community. So keep on subscribing, keep on joining, ask the questions and comments and all that stuff over there. It's a blast. Keep subscribing to this show on the KSR YouTube channel, and keep following along the Sources Say podcast. We will see you next time.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.